Good morning. This is Becky Spieth, Direct Sales Specialist in the Christian Direct Seller, and I want to welcome you to our call today. You know, God wants us to be prosperous, and so that's our topic today is we're going to be talking about prosperity God's way. And this is going to be a two-part series, just so you know. You're going to get great wealth and great value today, but there's just so much, it's in the word, about money and about prosperity that I wanted to break it up into a couple of different modules for you. So that's going to be my intention. And first up, I just want to just praise God that you're on the call today, and I want to open in prayer just real quick. Father God, thank you so much for anointing my lips of clay, Lord. I just willingly and knowingly confess that you are speaking in and through me. Lord, I ask that you would give me divine revelation and supernatural recall of your word and of your scripture. I pray that you will just anoint my head and my heart, my lips, Lord, that I could serve and honor you in a new and a fresh way. Lord, I pray that you help us to receive your revelation knowledge that you have for us, Lord, and that it will change our lives, that we would never be the same. We love you, and we glorify you, and we give you the honor and praise for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, I love to talk about definitions and really get a good understanding. I love to study the word. So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll start off by looking at what does Webster's Dictionary say about being prosperous and see what does Webster have to say about it, and then we move on to what the scripture says. So this morning I looked up what does it truly say about prosperity in the Webster's Dictionary. And it tells us that it is characterized by financial success, good fortune, flourishing, a prosperous business. Those are Webster's definition of prosperity. But God defines it differently. You know, it took me a long time searching the scriptures to narrow down how God defines prosperity. But it's very clear for us in 3 John 2. And in 3 John 2, it tells us, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Now, I wholeheartedly believe that this is exactly what God wants for his children, for all of them. That includes you as well as every other person that is one of God's children. You know, Zig Ziglar, one of my favorite mentors, said, "God is voting for you. The devil is voting against you. But you are the deciding factor." You are the deciding factor. As I pondered about that, I thought that is so true. You know, if God's able and willing, but we're not prospering both materially and in health, there's got to be something impeding our results. And as you see beyond any reasonable doubt from God's word, on this very basic level, God guarantees that all of our needs are going to be met, and on a higher level, God guarantees physical and material prosperity. So let's break this down into a systematic expose of what he's really saying here. Let me read the verse to you again. 3 John 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Now, God's really specific when he says beloved. What this means is you're part of the brotherhood. You're part of who he loves. You're part of his family. You are his son or his daughter. It's not used as somebody who's outside of the Christian faith. So he's talking to believers here. So he's saying, "Believers, beloved, my children." And then he says the next word, "wish." That means that he vows, he prays, he utters aloud profoundly before and above everything that's concerning. So what does he mean with all? He means all. So basically he's saying, you know, you're a believer, that his greatest prayer, vow, and utterance above everything else, all things in all phases of life, physical, mental, spiritual, social, family, professional, financial, everything, that you would prosper. Now, biblically coming from the Greek, eudo is what prosper was from. And what it means is to grant success. to have a successful issue, to cause you to prosper on a journey, to be very successful, and to be in health, to be sound. That's an awesome bonus. This is a totally different study if we wanted to go on the health side. But it, just know that it is included. But that we'd be healthy so that we can enjoy our prosperity. Isn't it awesome that God loves us so much? Not only does he want us to be prosperous, not only does he give us the formula on how to do it, not only does he tell you above all things that he wants you to do it, but he wants you to be healthy enough that you can enjoy it. That's a good lesson right in itself, because many of us will work ourselves to death trying to always chase the elusive dollar, and we forget to have a life and live a life. Ecclesiastes 5:19 says, "It's a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life, that is indeed a gift from God." So God wants us to be content as well. So let's keep dissecting the third John verse. It says, even as, according as, this is the condition to prospering. So one of the conditions to prospering is that your soul prospers, that your soul is the center of this entire thing. Your soul is actually the center of your believing heart and your mind. Your soul is your, it's not your spirit, but it is your heart, your will, your emotions. It's your thinking, it's your personality, it's your attitude, it's your intelligence. And the word soul, however, I want to make sure you're very clear, is not synonymous with your spirit. We're actually a triune being. We are a spirit that has a soul, which is our mind, our will, and emotions, and we're housed in a body. That's our meat suit. That's what's on the outside. So that's the key to your verse. That your prosperity and health is limited by how much your soul, your believing heart and mind, is prospering. I want to say that again. That your physical prosperity and your health is limited by how much your soul or your believing heart and mind is prospering. So if you've got a scarcity mentality, then your soul is not going to be prospering, and you will not physically prosper as well. I've seen so many people seek the Lord for healing over and over, and say, why don't I get my healing? But they've got a scarcity mindset. So if your mind is renewed to expect abundance, then your soul will begin to start prospering. So let me ask you this. How big will you believe? Because how big you believe determines the outcome of your prosperity. And this is going to come really, really clear as we continue to study this topic out. You prosper to the level that your soul prospers. That's exactly what it says here, and it's shown over and over again in Scripture, and I'm sure that you could attest to that in your own life, because I know that I definitely can. So whatever we are fully persuaded about in our minds will be how our soul will prosper. You know, the definition of prosperity that God has is different for each of us. That's why it's so wonderful about living in the Grace Administration and working in God's household. So basically, whether $20,000 a year or $1 million a year, it's all available to a prosperous Christian according to God's definition. We are the ones that limit it. You know, Proverbs 13:7 says, "There is that maketh himself rich, yet have nothing. There's also he that makes himself poor, yet he's got great riches." So it doesn't have anything to do with the amount of money you have. It's on your mindset. And many, many times, the others will follow and come. So let's talk about some of the rules. I've got 10 rules about prosperity that God has in his word. The first rule is we've got to put God first. Absolutely have no idols. I know that sounds pretty basic, but let me explain a little bit further. In Exodus 23, it tells us, "You shall have no other gods before me." God puts this verse in the Ten Commandments because it's the first in importance. So he doesn't bother to weave it in somewhere around 7 or 8 in case it gets lost. He says straight up front, "Have no other gods before me." Genuine spiritual and physical prosperity can only happen if we put God first. Prosperity is guaranteed if we put him first. It tells us that in Matthew 6:33. Seek you first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. So, it basically, when we're talking about this, it breaks it down that idolatry is anything that we put before God, anything at all. So, what were some of the obvious ones? Well, basically, anything that you put, that you honor, that you revere above God. Some of the obvious ones, of course, would be Satanism, devil worship, things like that. But some of the not-so-obvious forms of idolatry could be power, control, pleasure, race, religion, family, careers, money, our business, greed, and even the most common one, ourselves. It could also be, and I've seen this time after time, Facebook, social media, television, I mean, you name it. Again, it's anything that you would put above God. So the best way to check what you idolize or you have as an idol is, and what you idolize is to take an inventory on what you spend the majority of your time thinking about. If you spend the majority of your time working, advancing your business or your career, and only about a half of an hour on Sunday to think about God, what do you revere more? What position does God really have in your life? The first commandment of a prosperous Christian and the first rule that God gives us is really the simplest to understand, but it's not necessarily the easiest to do, and that's put God first. So remember, according to Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. All good things. And I mean all good blessings and all good things come from God. We've got to make sure that we give him the glory. God wants you to have wealth. That's a hard one for many Christians, but it's true. God does want you to be wealthy, but he doesn't want you to forget where it came from. 1 Timothy 6:17 tells us to tell those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone. But their trust should be in the living God who richly gives us all that we need for our enjoyment. You know, there's no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman. You really couldn't even make yourself, right? But many times people think or confess, oh, I did this on my own. Now, that breaks my heart, especially in our profession, because we know that for many of us to be very successful or to go to the top of our companies, we need a whole team of people that we would call maybe our success team or our downline. But we also need an upline. We need a company structure. We need to have sister or brother consultants that come alongside of us. Don't get prideful. Don't be self-righteous. And don't take credit for God's glory or anyone else's. Joshua 1:8 says that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night so that you can be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your ways prosperous, and then you will have success. This verse couldn't be more clear. It's an if-then verse. If you meditate on the word, if you think about it and you're careful to do according to what's inside of it, then you're going to be able to prosper and you'll have success. Simple, right? Luke 12:34 tells us, for where their treasure is, there your heart will be also. Another great indicator to find out what you idolize is look at your checkbook or your bank statement. Where are you investing? Where are you spending your time and your money? By putting God first, then and only then, will we be truly prosperous. And as we go through life, it's inevitable that we'll have many opportunities to take our eyes off God. Distractions are at an all-time high. This is the devil's ultimate goal. It's to get you to put something, anything, before God, and that's why he gives us so many distractions. But as a prosperous Christian, put God first. Now, the second rule of prosperity in the Word is to study to show yourself approved unto God. So congratulations for joining us this morning. It tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, study and be eager. Do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing the right handling and skillful teaching of the Word of Truth. After we put God first, the second rule of a prosperous Christian is to study God's Word. The Bible is an instruction book on life. God is very clear on the subject of learning His Word. And I promise you, every answer that you could ever want or need is in the Word. I was able to fix my car a couple of times by using the Bible. I had no clue what I was doing, and I couldn't get my car to start, and I was stranded with my kids. I had my Bible, and I just took it out, and I said, Lord, help me. Direct me to a verse, because I know that you are the author of all wisdom. Holy Spirit, that's one of your names. Show me in your Word what I need to do. And do you know that I read a verse, and I couldn't even tell you what the reference is right now, but it was talking about the north being the south and the south being the north, and that it was confused. And what I did is I opened up the hood, I looked underneath, I took my battery cables off, switched them, went and tried to start my car, and it started immediately. Somehow, the north cable was on the south, and the south cable was on the north. My wires got crossed, if you want to say. And the Lord used His Word to show me. Not like a download or a thought I had in my head or my heart, but I actually saw the words in the Bible. So in order to study, that means to extend a diligent effort, remembering that the time that we're here on earth is short. So not only are we to read the Word, we're to study the Word. The studying part's vitally important. I'm going to encourage you to get your face in the book and get it out of Facebook. We want to use your time wisely. There's a place like in the Word that really talks about giving that extra diligent effort because we know that time is running out. Our time on earth is very limited. We need to redeem the time wisely. It tells us that in Ephesians 5:15-16. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and the witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. I hope that if you don't walk away with anything else today, but that you take that verse and you apply it to your life. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and the witless, but as a wise, sensible, intelligent person, making the most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Live purposefully. Make the most of your time. You know, the second part of 2 Timothy 2:15 says, show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A workman means you're at work. You put some effort in. Rightly dividing in the Greek is a word that talks about that this is to cut and to make straight perfectly as if you were cutting a diamond. It's the only time it's ever used in the Word. So basically what I see here is that it's a very clear picture on how God wants us to study His Word. We need to remember that God protects His Word, and He magnified it above His name. His Word is above His name. It's cut so precisely is what He wants us to do with it, so that it's magnified and it glistens, and it's cut like a brilliant diamond. God's given us His instruction book. It's the Bible. All things that pertain to life in this physical world, all the things that pertain to godliness in the spiritual world are inside of it. He gives us everything we need to know. It's our job to study it and to get the answers. So isn't that awesome? To me, that's so, so encouraging. So how often do we need to study it? Does it tell us that in the Word? Well, that's the next logical question that I get asked all the time. It's like, okay, so you want me to study the Word, you want me to study the Bible. I'm not exactly sure how to study, how often to study it, or where do I start first? So first, I'm going to encourage you to read the book of John so you can fall in love with Jesus. Don't decide that you're going to start right in the book of Genesis, because I'm telling you, when you get to Numbers, you'll be thinking, oh my goodness, what did I get myself into? Start in John. And then read Acts, because Acts is where we have the transition from Jesus' dominion, or where he was on the earth, to where he's turned it over underneath the church. And so it's the beginning of the new church and how we can live as believers. And then start back in Matthew and read the New Testament first. But I like to go right to the source of God, and I like to answer the question about how often do we need to study the Bible. Acts 17:11 tells us, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So they didn't take somebody's word on it. And I'm going to encourage you not just even to take my word on it. Study the scripture for yourself and do it daily, just as it was instructed here. You know, the book of Acts is a wonderful place for us to learn from, because after the day of Pentecost, we were transitioning from the Christ administration, which ended in Acts 2, when we moved into the grace administration. And we can learn a lot about how they did things from that first century church on how we should do things as well. Acts 2:46 says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and the singleness of heart. So they studied daily with each other. Acts 5:47 says, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. It tells us in Psalm 1:1-3, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sitteth at the right seat of the scornful, but is his delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate on it day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. So if you want whatever you do to prosper, I'm going to encourage you to get out the Word. Read it twice a day. So why do we study the Scriptures? Well, for me, if I take the acronym Bible, I break it down into basic instructions before leaving Earth or basic instructions before life ends. Either way, it's my instruction manual. It helps me put on the mind of Christ. It gives me that right mindset. You know, the only way to put on the mind of Christ and to put off the old man or the old nature and put on the new is to change your mindset. By studying the Word daily, we're setting ourselves up for fantastic success in all categories of life, our physical, mental, professional, social, financial, family, and spiritual life. So how long do you study the Word each day? That's completely up to you. I recommend at least getting in the Word in the morning to start off your day, and just before you go to bed is another great time, which is going to guarantee you some amazing, sweet sleep. Next week, we're going to talk about some other rules. We've got 8 more rules as we go through about what does God's Word say about prosperity. But as a recap for today, God wants to be first in your life. He wants you to prosper in all areas, especially financially and with your health. He doesn't want you to put anything before Him, and He wants you to study His Word so you know exactly what it says so that you can do it and enjoy the prosperity that He's promised. I want to go before the Lord in prayer today. So if you'll bow your head, and let's just join our hearts and our heads from all over the world. I see on our call today we've got callers from all over the world. So I want to thank you for taking this time to join us and to join our faith together. Father God, I just want to praise You and thank You. I want to give You the honor and glory that first off, just that You're who You are, and that You love us so much that You've given us the life, the ability to breathe, the ability to praise and to worship You. Also, that You've cared for all of our needs and that You do want us to prosper. And Lord, I pray right now healing in Jesus' name over people's minds, their wills, and their emotions, their soul, that it would be healthy, that it would come into alignment with Your design for their life. Lord, I pray that you will bring prosperity, that you would help us to study in your word to find out what we need to be doing or maybe stop doing to enjoy greater prosperity in our soul as well as in every other realm. And Father God, I know there's many hurting hearts today. So I ask in Jesus' name that you would heal Cheryl's heart. She lost her husband unexpectedly. Lord, you know that. I pray that you will bring comfort and wisdom to her, that you will help her to feel and to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your word is true and that you tell us that you will be the husband to the husbandless. Lord, we praise you and we thank you and we rejoice that her husband's in heaven serving you and worshiping you. But Cheryl's got new tasks, new responsibilities, new things, new ways of life. Lord, I pray that you would comfort her loneliness, that you will keep her husband's memory and his love alive in her heart, that you will help her to minister to her family, but also that others would minister to her. Father God, I pray for Justin and his job and for anyone else that's listening that needs a job, Lord, or that has a son or a daughter searching for a job. Lord, I pray that you would give them peace beyond understanding, that they would not live or walk in scarcity or desperation. We know that's a distraction from the enemy. Lord, I pray that they will find the work that you have for them, that they will fulfill the call, the destiny that you've put inside of their spiritual DNA. And Lord, I ask that favor would go out before them. Even at this moment, Lord, I pray for divine connections. I pray that you will take the scales off their eyes and unplug their ears, that they would see opportunity before them. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for the opportunity to pour into the lives of others, Lord, that you have put together an amazing group here where we can lift each other up and we can come together each and every week and start our week off right with you. Lord, I pray a blessing on each and every person's business, that it would prosper, that favor would go out before each person as they make a phone call or as they talk about their business. Give them boldness and spirit, that the lion inside of each of them would rise up and they would fulfill their call and their destiny. Lord, I pray that you will help their hosts and their customers to see that they are blessed, to be blessed to work with their consultant, their leader, because your anointing is upon them and they are going to be blessed because they are working with your child who has been blessed to be a blessing. Lord, help us to be faithful in our giving. Lord, help us to be faithful of giving of our time and our resources. Lord, help us to be faithful in giving you back your tithe first, as that's the verse in the word that tells us that to try you and to test you, and that will unlock even greater prosperity. Lord, I thank you for the health and the healing that's taking place in emotions, in minds, in physical bodies right now. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory and honor and praise. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.